you will, this morning, turn with me to Psalms 37. I want to be start there this morning. In Psalms 37, we're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5. They read, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." In these verses dwell what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, in the time period we live in, with everything going on, you know, it's been a trying time for everyone. You know, everything has become a little bit more stressful, a little, you know, out of normal. And that's especially true in the church. You know, there's been a lot of times where churches haven't been able to meet, or they've had to be, you know, doing social distancing, which I know for the church is a hard thing. You know, we're all used to hugging one another and handshaking one another and being able to, you know, just be in fellowship with one another. You know, Hebrews tells us, you know, don't forsake the assembly of the saints. But we spent a lot of this summer not knowing when we can go to church or when we can't. And what we're going to talk about this morning is how we can still commit to the Lord, even with everything that's going on in the world. You know, we just read right here, you know, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him." As Christians, you know, this is our goal. You know, we're still striving to desire God. We're still striving to delight in the things that he needs us to do during this time, and we're still trying to be committed toward him. If you turn to me to Proverbs, in Proverbs 16, verse 3, it reads, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." You know, again, this is another verse telling us, you know, we're meant to commit ourselves to the Lord. This specifically says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. You know, as we go through this time, it's, you know, as we're not able to meet as we once did, as, you know, as things have become more difficult, sometimes it's easy to let bad habits in. You know, it's easy to do other things on, you know, Wednesday night when we're not meeting on Wednesdays. It's easy to, you know, let different things come in when we're not having the different gospel meetings and the different things that we once were able to. It's easy to let bad habits come in. But it tells us right here, we need to make sure that we're still committed to the Lord and that our thoughts and desires will be established in him. If you'll turn me to 1 Peter, in 1 Peter 4, verse 19, it reads, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." Right here it tells us we're meant to commit our souls. You know, we're supposed to commit the very fiber of our being. You know, everything we think about, all the desires we have, you know, all of our thoughts and works, our very souls are meant to be committed to doing good. But what we talked about, you know, it's hard to do that in this time period. You know, as Christians, we're striving to find new ways to commit ourselves to the Lord, you know, as, you know, church is, you know, taking a hit with this virus. We're striving to find, you know, ways to still make sure that we're committed to God, to still making sure that we have good habits in our lives. And if you turn to me to Matthew, in Matthew 8, verses 18 through 22, you know, we have to ask our question, you know, ask ourselves the question, are we committed? You know, have we stayed as committed as we should be during this time period? Are we still striving to be the best Christians we can be, you know, even with all the, you know, the hindrances thrown in our way? In Matthew 8, starting at verse 18, it reads, "And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my Father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead.'" You know, here we see Jesus, you know, telling these disciples, you know, you have to follow him. You know, he says, you know, my Father has died. You know, I have to go bury my Father. But Jesus said, you know, let the dead bury their dead. And he's not saying, you know, that the dead is going to physically bury one another, but he's saying our first priority should always be serving Jesus. You know, no matter what we have going on in our life, our first thought and first priority should always be on Jesus. You know, and that can, you know, translate to us, you know, no matter the fact that, you know, we can't meet as often as we once did, no matter the fact that we have to social distance, you know, no matter, you know, the different things that are going on in this time, we're still meant to be following Jesus. You know, and as we're asking ourselves, you know, are we committed to God? Are we still committed to our Christian walk? We know that, you know, there's very easy ways to see, you know, do we have that lack of commitment in our life? You know, just like how a lack of commitment, something shows up in a job place or in a relationship, lack of commitment shows, you know, through to a Christian life. If we're not committed enough, we're not going to be growing like we should be in a relationship with God. We're not going to be focusing on, you know, studying the scriptures. We're not going to be praying as much as we should be. We're not going to be striving to reach out to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're not growing in a relationship with God, we're not growing in biblical knowledge, you know, those are failures that show up in our Christian life when we have other priorities, when we're focused on different things and when bad habits come into our life. When we're, you know, we're not servicing and being a part of the church as we once were. You know, it's easy in this time period when we don't have, you know, all the things that we once were able to do in the church. It's easy to, you know, lose our spot in it. You know, how can we still serve God? How can we still serve the church and still play our role? You know, that's something we have to be asking ourselves, you know, as we go into this 2020 year. We have to make sure that we're still striving to serve God in some way, still striving to better the church. And most importantly, if we're not committed to God, if we're not doing all these things, if we're not growing like we should, God's light won't be shining through us. You know, we're told as Christians to be the light to the world. You know, the church should have been, you know, the beacon of light during all this. You know, there's different ways we could have outreached, different ways we can help one another, you know, through this time. And as a church, we have to make sure that we're stepping up and filling that role as a light to the world. You know, we have to tell ourselves, not my will, but thine be done. You know, it's easy on Wednesday's night now to not do church service. It's easy not to have a personal devotion. It's not, you know, it's easy now to, you know, forget about Wednesday services because we can't come to church. But there's still a lot of churches that are doing online services. You know, there's still online resources that we can use to still have devotionals. We can still get together as families and make sure that we're, you know, committing our time and effort to serving God. And it's little things like that that we can still do that show that we can commit ourselves to God. The first step to make sure that we recommit ourselves to God is being convicted. You know, as Christians, we have to make sure that, you know, we have that passion, that we have that drive, that we know what we're doing, that our priorities are in the right place. You know, as Christians, you know, we're born in the image of God. You know, we've been given the plan of salvation, and we've been told everything that we need to, you know, live the best life on this earth. You know, as Christians, we need the conviction to be able to go out and live the Christian lifestyle, to make sure that this is our importance, that this is our drive. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, where your treasure is, you know, there your heart is also. You know, as Christians, we have to make sure that our treasure is God, that we're striving to make sure our heart is in the right place and that we're placing importance on the right things. If you turn with me to Acts, in Acts 9, we're going to be looking at the first passage in this, verses 1 through 9. It reads, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonishing, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. For here we see Saul, persecuting the church. He was an Israelite at the time. He was a Jew who was going against this new religion, and he did it with a passion. He went out and sought permission to go out and destroy this new religion that he thought was against his God. But we see Saul's conviction, when Jesus comes to him, when he realizes he was in the wrong, he knows where to put his importance. He knows that he needs to follow Jesus and do what Jesus tells him to do. So he goes and, it says he's praying for 3 days without eating or drinking. We see Saul's conviction right here. He knew where his priority lied. Even at the very beginning, when he was in the wrong, he was still striving to serve God. He still made sure that God was his priority. And as Christians, we have to make sure we're doing the same. If we turn to 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 15, it reads, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I attained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." This is Paul telling Timothy about himself, saying, this is where I was. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. He considered himself the chief of sinners, because he was persecuting the church. But, when Christ came to him, when he was given the grace of God, he made that his new conviction. He made that his new passion. Paul could have sat back and said, I'm doing the, I found the church, but I'm going to sit back and, not be as zealous as I once was. But we see Paul writing most of the New Testament. Paul, going on many different ministries. Paul still had that passion to serve God. He was still convicted that he needed to be placing God as his main priority. If you turn back with me to Acts 9, in Acts 9, starting at verse 17, if conviction is so important, the next thing we have to realize is we need conversion. We need to make sure that, we're changing our lifestyle. Paul did this in Acts 9 because he was becoming a new Christian. But conversion isn't something that only happens when we become a new member in Christ. We should be making sure that we're always looking inward, always looking at ourselves, making sure that we change anything that needs fixed in our life. In Acts 9, starting at verse 17, it reads, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus." Well, here we see Saul, taking time, to spend some days with the disciples. He wanted to make sure that he was strengthening himself. He was wanting to make sure that he was, changing his life and striving to understand this new Christian walk. As Christians, we have to make sure that we're constantly, day by day, checking ourselves to make sure that we're doing the right thing. We need to pause and ask ourselves, is this what I need to be doing as a Christian? As we go through this, this summer and into this fall and winter, we have to ask ourselves, is, what I'm doing the best thing I can be doing right now for God? Is what I'm doing right now, the way I'm living my life, the best way I can spread my light in the world? If you turn to me to 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 17, it reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." know, as Christians, we know, you know, it's a new beginning. When you come out of that water, you know, we're supposed to put the old things in our life away. And so we're supposed to prioritize God. We're supposed to have that, you know, converted lifestyle. And, you know, it's easy to fall back on bad habits. You know, when that new passion falls off, when that new zeal, when you first come out of the water, falls off, and especially in these trying times, again, it's so easy for different bad habits or different things to come in the way of you and God. But we have to make sure that we're constantly checking ourselves, constantly striving to look inward and making sure that, you know, we're converting our thoughts toward God, that we're changing away from old things and making sure that we're doing, you know, the best new things we can to serve God. If you turn with me to Matthew, in Matthew 14, we're going to be looking at verse 31. You know, if we need conviction in our life, if we need to make sure that we're converting ourselves and, you know, focusing on doing the right thing, the next thing I want to talk about is being confident in God, you know, having the confidence to serve Him in the best way. In Matthew 14, verse 31, it reads, "And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" You know, this is Peter trying to walk on water. You know, he sees Jesus out on the water, and Peter starts walking out to him. You know, this is Peter who's left a boat and is walking on water. You know, this is a Peter who's been convicted. You know, he's following Jesus. He knows where his priorities lie. You know, he's converted his lifestyle into serving Jesus. Right here we see Peter losing confidence. Right here we see Peter, you know, who sees the world around him. You know, he sees the waves, he sees the winds, you know, he sees the storm, and he loses confidence in Jesus. As Christians, we can't lose confidence. You know, we see the world around us. You know, we see the sin in it. We see, you know, the different troubles that America is going through. We see, you know, the different arguments, and we see, you know, the pandemic around us. But we have to remain confident in Christ. That's so important for us to be able to make sure that we're striving to live the Christian lifestyle, to make sure that we are focused on Him and stay strong in the faith. You know, right now, if Jesus would, you know, come ask us, you know, would He tell us, you know, that we are of little faith right now? You know, yes, we're in a trying time, but have we lost sight of Jesus through all this? Have we looked at the world around us and have started placing our eyes away from Him? As we go through our days, we have to make sure that we're focused on Jesus. If you're turning me to James 1, in James 1, we're going to be reading verses 2 through 8. It reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So right here this chapter starts, you know, telling us that we can be perfect and complete. You know, it tells us, as Christians, you know, if our faith is tested, we can come out stronger. You know, we can come out with patience. You know, we can come out, you know, being better Christians. It tells us, you know, we can go to God, and God will give us, you know, liberally. But it also tells us we can't be double-minded. You know, we can't be, you know, like Peter, you know, sea-driven and tossed by the wind. We have to make sure that we're confident in God, even through these trying times. You know, it tells us, you know, we're going to fall into various trials. We're going to be tested. And I believe that this time period has been a testing for the whole church. You know, how can we overcome, you know, what's going on around us? But we know that if the church makes it through this, if we can strive to keep our eyes on, you know, on God, on serving Jesus, that we can become a more complete church as we go throughout this time. I want to look at one last verse. If you will, turn with me to Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it reads, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." We're hearing this verse, You know, it talks about the three things that we've just talked about. You know, it tells us we have to be convicted, that we have to make sure that we believe that God is the creator, that he is, you know, has a plan of salvation for us, that he is in control. And the next thing it tells us, you know, it tells us that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, it tells us, you know, the people who, you know, convert their lifestyle into seeking God, it tells us the people who are striving to serve him will be rewarded. And it tells us that if we're confident, we can please God. You know, without faith, we can't please him. And the reverse of that is if we're confident in God, if we have that faith, if we have that hope in him, we can please God. Today, if you find that you haven't been as committed as you should, if you find that this life has tested you and you've let some bad habits slip into your life, if you have any need or any concern, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.